All right, welcome to church this morning. I'm Maya. I know I just said that on the video, but perhaps you noticed Pastor Jason's not here today, so I get to have the honors of speaking today. When I was first trying to figure out what to talk about, last time I talked about something that was really personal that was going on in my life, and this time I was like, well, maybe we should do something different. So I kind of just prayed about it, was thinking about it, and it took a long time to figure out what I was supposed to talk about. Sorry, I'm a little emotional this morning, guys. So hopefully I can keep it together. Anyway, last time I talked about some battles and different things that are going on. And today's kind of, in a way, a part two. It's a little different. I was praying, just trying to talk to God about what I was supposed to talk about today. And a word kept coming up. I don't know if you guys have ever had that, like trying to talk to God about something and something just keeps coming up over and over again. And so we're going to talk about that word today. I kind of went back and forth and I was like, well, is this a word that's just for me, God? Is this a word that's for the church? And eventually I just got to the point where I was like, you know what? It can be for both. And so we're going to talk about that today. And as I was thinking about that word, I just kept being reminded of how deep of a topic it truly is. And so we're going to kind of try to get deep, but also it is such a huge topic that we can't really cover all of it. So if you want to do more research into that, I encourage you to. It's an awesome thing, but you probably noticed there's a little paper in front of you that looks like this, just in case we run out of time. If you want to kind of go in more in depth at home to cover this topic a little bit more, think about it a little bit more, that's there for you to do as a resource. You probably can tell I love worksheets. I love thinking about things in depth. So if you would like to go ahead, that is there in front of you. So the word we're going to talk about today is stewardship. And so we're going to just kind of break that up a little bit, talk about someone in the Bible, and just talk about the depth on what God calls us to be as someone that is a steward. So we're going to pray before we get started, and then we'll get into it. Dear God, we just thank you so much for who you are. God, that you're there for us all the time. God, that you are such an amazing Father. You know exactly what we need when we need it. And God, that you are just providing, you're going ahead of us. God, we are so grateful. God, we just pray as I speak that your words would come out of my mouth and not my own. And that the hearts that need to hear it would just know how they need to hear it, Lord. And know that you love them and the message that you have for them. We love you so much. Amen. All right, so we're talking about stewardship today. Google says the definition is of stewardship is acting as a caretaker or a manager of something that belongs to God. And it is something that is so important. From the very beginning of the Bible, we're told that God wanted Adam and Eve to be a steward of everything that was around them. And so it's something from the very beginning that we can see. And as you read through the Bible, there's so many different places in different ways that talk about being a steward. And so we're kind of, again, cover this quickly, but hopefully do it justice and talk about it in depth enough. So there are so many different ways that we are supposed to be a good steward of. Typically, if you're in the Christian world, we like to talk about stewardship typically with money, but it's so much more than just money. It's our time, our lives, our jobs, taking care of our home and our abilities and relationships, our bodies and the things that we own and so many more in so much different areas. But we're called, as God's children, to be people of the light. And how we shine the light should be to be good caretakers of different things. Shining his light and showing his love. And just how we serve other people. So those are just some topics that we're going to cover as we get going on here. But just like any parent, how many of you guys, if you're a parent or if you have given a gift before, want someone to take care of the gift that you've given them? Unless it's something that you're supposed to explode, then I guess you want them to explode it, right? Right? You want them to take care of it. And that's something that God wants us to do. He gives us things and he wants us to take good care of it. He wants us to use it wisely and just to be able to have fun with it. Like when you're a parent and you give your kid a gift and they're like, yeah, I'm going to go outside. And then 2 seconds back, they're like, I broke it. And you're like, oh, well, you had fun with it for a little bit, but you know, that's just how it is sometimes. But God wants us to take care of the things that he has and just use them wisely. He wants us to use them for good and bring others closer to him when there are things that are given from him. And he wants us to be good steward of our relationship with God and what he's given us. We should shine a light that points directly towards God. And today we're going to talk about someone who does that really, really well. And he just continues to make good choices and just do things that just show God's light in so many different ways. So if you are someone that likes to flip open your Bible, we're going to be in Daniel chapter 6. I'm going to give you some backstory here, and then we'll get talking about our story today. So Daniel was an incredible steward, and we're going to talk about that. And in the beginning of the book of Daniel, we're told that King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon won a battle against the king of Judah, and he stole some sacred things and then took some captives to bring with him that he wanted to serve him. And so we're only told the name of four of those people. And their names are Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, or as you might know them, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And if you know the story at the very beginning of Daniel, first they're kind of brought into this place. They're supposed to be training and eating food, and that food that they're provided with is many things that goes against what God wanted his people to eat at the time. And so they got left with a choice of, do we eat what we're supposed to be eating, or do we say, no, we can't do this? Do we choose what God wants us to do instead? And so we're told Daniel brings Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego with him, and they stand up and they say, we're not supposed to eat this. Let's eat vegetables, which classifies as vegetables, fruits, legumes, and a few other different things. And they chose to stand up and defend what they knew was right. And it ends up working out for them. They end up being the strongest men. Things are going really great for them, and it goes amazingly. And as we keep reading, they keep doing those things. They stand up for what's right. They get put in different positions where they're able to just do amazing things. Daniel's able to interpret dreams of the kings and the leaders and just shine God's light in so many different ways. And so at the beginning of Daniel chapter 6, Daniel's kind of put at this higher position because he has so faithfully served God, used his gifts well, that he is just thought as a very high character, a very good person. So if you guys are ready, you're there. I'm going to be reading out of NLT. There's a couple verses later that are in NASB, but they're pretty quick that we probably won't have time to flip for them. But if you want to follow along, NLT. We're going to read verses 1-5 and then talk about it, and we'll come back. So Daniel chapter 6, verse 1. Darius the Mede decided to divide the kingdom into 120 provinces, and he appointed a high officer to rule over each province. The king also chose Daniel and the two others as administrators to supervise the high officers and protect the king's interests. So this is a pretty high up job that he gets put in charge of. Then verse 3, Daniel soon proved himself more capable than all the other administrators and high officers. Because of Daniel's great ability, the king made plans to place him over the entire empire. Then the other administrators and high officers began searching for some fault in the way Daniel was handling government affairs. But they couldn't find anything to criticize or condemn. He was faithful, always responsible, and completely trustworthy. So they concluded the only chance of finding grounds for accusing Daniel will be in the connection with the rules of his religion. And I read that and I'm like, wow, that's awesome. Because, I mean, I make mistakes, but like they're looking at Daniel's life with a fine-toothed comb, just trying to find errors, trying to find ways that he messed up, and they find nothing. No errors, no typos, no accidentally, I forgot, and they found nothing. And I think that's such an incredible thing, because that just tells us how much of a work ethic Daniel had. He understood some very important things. I'm going to read a couple verses off here just real quick. There, Colossians 3:17 says, whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Colossians 3:23, whatever you do, do your work heartedly, as for the Lord and not for people. Galatians 6, 4 through 5. Pay careful attention to your own work, for then you will get the satisfaction, you guys know what I'm saying, of a job well done, and you won't need to compare yourself to anyone else. For we are each responsible for our own conduct. And Daniel knew these things so well. He knew he needed to work for God, and everything he did was done so well. You can tell that that was his heart. I'm working for God, not for the things that are going on around me, but for God. And he does things so, so well. He shows up. He pays careful attention. Because again, they found nothing wrong with his work. Not one thing, especially when you work in the government. That happens a lot. Unfortunately, we hear about it all the time. But he had nothing wrong. He worked at his own work, was responsible for what he did. And that's such an amazing thing. He used his gifts and his talents and his choices to work in everything for God. He paid careful attention. And he was dedicated. Daniel also understood God's heart and desires for his people because he lived them well. Again, these words are found written in the New Testament. They weren't written in his time, but he lives them out really well. If you want to flip to this one, I'm going to read a couple of verses out of this one. It's in Ephesians 5. We're going to read verses 1 through 9. It says this, "Imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are his dear children. Live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered us himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God. Let there be no sexual immorality, impurity, or greed among you. Such sins have no place among God's people. Obscene stories, foolish talk, and coarse jokes, these are not for you. Instead, let there be thankfulness to God. You can be sure that no immoral, impure, or greedy person will inherit the kingdom of God in Christ. For a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. Don't be fooled by those who try to give excuses for these sins. For the anger of God will fall on all who disobey him. Don't participate in these things people do. For once you were full of darkness, but now you're full of light from the Lord. So live as people of the light, for this light within you produces only what is good, right, and true." Again, they looked at Daniel's life so, so closely. They could have found any of those things that were listed as things we shouldn't do, but they found nothing. They didn't find anything they could use against him. Daniel was a child of the light. He produced what was good, right, and true. What an amazing thing for people to look so closely at someone's life and realize the only thing they could ever use against you is your relationship with God. Ephesians 5:10 says, "Work carefully to determine what pleases the Lord." And Daniel did that through and through. He paid attention to his work, worked wholeheartedly for the Lord. And we're told earlier in Daniel that he gave recognition to God for everything that he did. He said, this is not me. I can't do this. But I know who can. God can do this for you and help you out. And he did that a lot when he was interpreting dreams, like I said earlier, and helping the kings out. I don't know about you, but that sounds like an awesome place to be. To be someone that produces good, right, and true, and people can't find things that are wrong. It's just an amazing and a hard task to do. But how cool would it be for someone to say those words about you? I want to be a good steward with my relationship with God, and I want to stand strong against the things that could get in my way, just like Daniel does. No matter what battles come our way, no matter what things we face, he stands true to what God wants him to do. And as we read, Daniel keeps making choices over and over and over again because he knows what is most important and knows the importance of being a good steward of what God gave him and where he put him. So we're going to jump back to Daniel chapter 6, and we're going to read a few more verses and I'll come back. Verse 6. So the administrators and the high officers went to the king and said, "Long live King Darius. We are all in agreement. We administrators, officials, high officers, adversaries, governors, that the king should make a law that will be strictly enforced. Give orders that for the next 30 days, anyone who prays against or prays to anyone, divine or human, except to you, your majesty, will be thrown into the dens of lions. And now, your majesty, issue and sign this law so it cannot be changed, an official law of the Medes and the Persians that cannot be revoked." So King Darius signed the law. And I love this verse. Verse 10. "But when Daniel learned that the law had been signed, he went home and knelt down, and as usual in his upstairs room, with its windows open towards Jerusalem, he prayed 3 times a day, just as he'd always done, giving thanks to his God." And I love Daniel's reaction. Even though they were not supposed to pray, the law, immediately he goes home and prays. And that is such an amazing thing. He does exactly what God told him to do, what God wanted him to do, pray, spend time with him. Even when things are going against him, he chooses to show up and be faithful. He put God first above everything else. And I love how Philippians 4, 6 through 7 says this: "Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all that he's done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Jesus Christ." Even though these words weren't written yet, I just love how they still are such a part of Daniel's story. He chooses that he's going to show up. He's going to honor God. He's going to be there. And I believe God's peace was with him when he went. He knew that God was with him no matter where he went, no matter what he did, and he showed up. Put his relationship with God first, because he knew how many issues that law might create. And he chose, "I'm going to talk to the one who knows all the answers about everything." And he prays. Can I ask you a tough question? It's something that you have to be really honest about. Do you steward your relationship with God like Daniel does? No matter what's going on in your life, no matter what battles come your way, what distractions are in front of you, do you put God first? Do you find ways to honor him? Because Daniel didn't make the excuse. He showed up anyway. He showed up to pray. Showed up, put God first. Talk to the person who knew all the answers. So how are you stewarding your time in relationship with God? Part of being a good steward is stewarding the thing that's most important. And the thing that's most important is our relationship with God. So it's important to ask ourselves that. It's important to be people of reflection. Take time. How am I showing up? What does this look like in my life? So we're going to read Daniel chapter 6, 11 through 14. It said, "Then the officials went together to Daniel's house and found him praying and asking for God's help. So they went straight to the king and reminded him about this new law. 'Did you not sign a law for the next 30 days? Anyone who prays to anyone, divine or human, except to you, your majesty, will be thrown into the den of lions?' 'Yes,' replied the king. 'The decision stands. It is an official law of the Medes and the Persians that cannot be revoked.' Then they told the king, 'That man Daniel, the one of the captives from Judah, is ignoring you and your law. He still prays to his God 3 times a day.' Hearing this, the king was deeply troubled, and he tried to think of a way to save Daniel. He spent the rest of the day looking for a way to get Daniel out of this predicament." We're just going to stop there because I think that's really cool. You know, we're called to be people that are different. We're not meant to follow everything in this world. We're made to stand out. And Daniel's a great example of this. Daniel was different in such an amazing way that the king wanted to figure out a way to possibly get him out of the situation. Because he knew there was something different. He knew that Daniel was faithful. He produced things that were good, right, and true. And he wanted to keep Daniel around him. Some of you might be wondering, actually, I'm going to go back a little bit. So we are people that follow Colossians 3:23, and we work wholeheartedly as for the Lord and not for the people. It should set us apart. When we live as people of the light, there should be differences from us to the people who are in the darkness. We should be different and shine a light just like Daniel. So if you're wondering, well, how do we be different? Or maybe you're thinking, I kind of want to fit in. How do we get to a point where we stand out different? We're different like Daniel. We're people that can be light and make it so apparent to everyone around us that there's something different, there's something good about it. I would say this. One, following God and stewarding a relationship with God has a lot to do with it. Ever since the beginning of the Bible, God has asked his people to be good stewards. When we remember that everything we have is God's, and we have a heart of gratitude, it becomes so much easier to gain the right heart posture and to grow in stewardship. And that awesome, like, that's something I have to work on. As I said last time I spoke, the beginning of the year was just rough. It was hard. And I realized this week when stewardship kept coming up that I really needed to work on my heart of gratitude. Because that truly does help so many things. As I read in so many of those verses, it says, give thanks to God. And when we're thankful, it becomes so much easier to have a heart that's focused on God, not on ourselves. For example, thank you. When we get to the end of the day and we're like, oh, I'm just so tired, I've got nothing left. And then we go to our kitchen and we see these mountains of dishes. And we're like, ah, that's not what I need today, right? It's so much easier to just feel defeated when that's what we think of, right? But if we can change our thought and we can say, you know what? You know what, God, I'm so grateful that we have plates that I can put food on. God, I'm grateful that I have food to put on my plate. I'm thankful for the mouths that I have to feed. Thank you so much, Lord, for all that you've given me. It's such a great thing. Again, it takes our mind off of ourselves and puts it on God. God, thank you. You're great. And maybe that's the thought process you need to find some things in your life. I encourage you to do it because it's an awesome thing. Another part of this is when we stop taking our time to ask ourselves, how am I being a light? We start taking time, sorry. Or how am I being a steward with my relationship with God? We have to reflect on what we're doing and how we're holding God in that equation. Because no matter what we're doing, we should be shining a light. Whether it's to the little eyes at home watching us or to someone that's walking past us. So, a big question today is this. How am I stewarding my relationship with God? And how am I stewarding the light that God is? There are so many areas that God wants us to be a good steward of. And the most important is our relationship with him. He wants to have a strong personal relationship with us. He wants to talk to us. There's things that are going on in your life. He wants to talk to you. He wants to be there for you. And it's important to take time to spend time with God so we can learn, so we can grow, we can get closer to him, but it also helps develop our light just to shine more. The more we have God in us, the easier it is to shine that light for other people. So question one for point number one is this. How are you stewarding your relationship with God? And I know I've said that a lot, but it's really important. And how are you growing closer to him? The second area of stewardship that we're going to talk about is what John talked about last week. So I'm going to just briefly talk about it because you can go listen to his message last week if you missed it. But it's how are you stewarding the relationships with people around you and people who are lost. No man's an island. We're not meant to be alone. We're supposed to be a light to the people around us. We all have a story. We all have something to give. We all have something to be able to talk through people with. Most people today, they really just want someone that's genuine. They want someone that's honest. And unfortunately, that's kind of a dying art in our culture today. So if you're anything, be genuine and honest. Take time. Ask the people around them how they're doing. Maybe give it a couple seconds, because a lot of us like to say, I'm doing great. And you're like, but are you though? Be the people that sit there and just wait for the honest answer. Walk them through it. Hey, is there anything I can do to help you out? Is there anything I can walk you through? Or maybe it's just simply to listen, because people also need that. So how are you shining the light to the people around you? Again, if you want more on that, you can listen to John's message last week. The third area is this. How are you using your gifts and talents and interests for God? We all have things that God's given us. We all have things that we are unique with, things that God just gave us as talents, things that we're good at, like painting or cooking or helping others or serving people. Those are all things that God gave us that just make up who we are. So how are you using that, those gifts, those talents? 1 Peter 4:10 through 11 says this. God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as though God himself were speaking through you. Do you have a gift of helping others? Do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies. Then everything you do, bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. All glory and power to him forever and ever. Amen. Part of being a good steward is using the gifts that he gave us, because he gave them to you for a reason. There's so many amazing things that we can do with those things that he's given us. Maybe you love making food and you're like, yeah, I love food. Or maybe like, I love desserts. Desserts are my thing. Maybe a great thing that you could do was help out on Wednesday nights with food. Or be like, you know what, Dale? I would love to make desserts. I make too many desserts, so actually you'd be helping me out if I could drop some off. Right? I'm sure Dale would never say no to that, right? Maybe you're like, I love having conversations with people about God, and I love just leading them and answering questions. Maybe a great spot for you is helping out in small groups with kids or with youth people. Some of these things are like, we see them as something that's so challenging, but sometimes they're just so part of who we are that it is such an amazing thing to work and to use those gifts, to see the awesome things that we can do when we share the light that God gave us and use those gifts. Maybe you're someone out there, this is not me, but maybe it's you, and you're like, I love meeting new people. It's the best thing in the entire world. Step me out. I want to be in front of a big group of people. Like, I just want to say hi to everyone. Hello, 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 hello. And you're like, yeah, that's me. Great place for you is the greeter team. You can say hi to everyone that comes in the church. So if you love that, that's a great place for you, right? Maybe you just love helping people. There's all kinds of things that you can do. Maybe you love writing. Maybe a great thing is for you to find an outlet. Write about God so that you can shine his light to whoever it is that reads whatever it is you are posting, whether it's on Instagram or Facebook or a blog if you feel called to do that. There's all kinds of amazing things that you can use your gifts for, that you can be a light to the people around you. And you can read in Daniel chapter 2, 4, and 5 about how he uses his gifts. Daniel does, to interpret dreams and how he uses the wisdom that God gave him well. And he wants to use you just like he uses Daniel. He has a purpose for you. He's got a calling for you. And it's such an amazing thing when we do those things. Can I say, like, the most times that God's called me to do something that I was like, yeah, that's not me, God. That's outside my comfort zone. And then when I finally did it, it's the most rewarding, amazing thing you can ever do. And sometimes we just get really scared. And it's not really that scary. I mean, it might be the first time. Like, I was so scared the first time I spoke up here a month and a half ago. It's not as bad this time. It gets better as you do it, guys. Right? Yeah, it is what it is. Unless you're just always awesome first time around. I get scared doing things the first time. Right? But God can use it in so many different ways when we're willing to just step out there. And the more that I've done that, the so much easier it is, and the so much, and you're like, you know what? This freaks me out, God, but you've proven yourself over and over again that it's going to be good. So I'll believe you, and I'm just going to take that huge jump over and figure out what happens. And it's so amazing when you do. So don't be afraid. Say, God, I'll do this. I'll do it with you. Let's go. And it's truly an amazing thing when you do. So side note, but part of it. You can use your gifts in so many different ways. And again, it's so rewarding when you get to say, you know what, God, I'm going to lean on you. I'm going to do this. And it's so cool when you see the gifts and the fruit that God does when you use those things for him. So last, third point, how are you using your gifts for God? What are you doing with your gifts? If you're somewhere and you're like, you know, I'm just at a place where I don't know what my gifts are. I don't know what I'm good at. We all have places, times that we go through things like that. That's okay. Talk to God about it. That's one of those things he would absolutely love to talk to you about. But you can also, if you're like, I'm talking to God about it, I don't feel like I'm getting anywhere, talk to someone that knows you. I'm sure they can help you out. There's all kinds of things that we're good at. And I'm sure the people around you have noticed those things. So sometimes we just need to open our eyes to that, and asking someone can really be helpful. So the last one we're going to talk about today, and I know there's so many more other topics that go with stewardship, but just for the sake of time, and I realize I've already kind of talked way too much already, but the last one that we're going to talk about here is time, because really, time is going to affect all of these. If you can't be a good steward of your time, then it affects your relationship with God. It affects how you can use your gifts and all of the other things that we've said. So we need to be good stewards with our time. And this can be by far the hardest one because if we aren't good stewards, it affects everything. And maybe you're someone that loves like packing your schedule full of things. Maybe today with your little sheet or without your little sheet, you can be like, you know what, God? Am I doing everything for you? Have everything I've chosen, is this all things that you want me to be doing? Is there anything that I need to stop doing? Is there something that I need to be adding or something I need to take away? And that is something that we all need to do from time to time. Sometimes when we go through battles or hard times, or it's just been a long time since we've asked ourselves that question, sometimes we get to a place where you're like, what? Everything just kind of feels off. Like, what's going on? Sometimes it's like, When's the last time I read my Bible? And you realize it's been like a month. Sometimes we just get out of the groove of things and we forget and we don't really realize it until we stop and ask ourselves that question. So ask yourself that question. What are you spending a lot of your time doing? Do you have routines that are helpful to your relationship with God? What eats away at all your time? I'm going to kind of quickly go through this just so we can end on time. But again, like I said earlier, if you want to take a lot of time and you want to ask yourself these questions, feel free to grab one of these. There should be one on every other chair. If you don't have one, there's more at the sound system on your way out if you need. So grab one if you'd like to do that. I always find things like that helpful because I'm the person that likes to sit and think. If you don't find them helpful, just leave them. That's okay. So we're going to quickly walk through this. So the first thing that I have written down is if you are like, I need to talk to God about some things that are going on in my life. The first thing to start is to ask yourself those hard questions. What am I doing? What's full of all my time? What routines do I have? What things cause so much havoc in my mind that I spend so much time thinking about them that nothing else is getting done? It's a great place to start. Fortunately, with our culture, it's so easy to pack our schedules so full we don't have time to breathe. And sometimes We also do the opposite, and we isolate ourselves so much that we have nothing to do, and that can also be incredibly overwhelming sometimes when you're in that space as well. Sometimes there are seasons when one of these things happen, and that doesn't mean that you aren't where God wants you to be. But it's something that we need to take our time to stop, think about, God, what am I supposed to be doing in this season? What do you want me to be doing right now? God, this is a huge issue in my life at the moment. How is it, what can I do to bring it before you more? Because I'm struggling with this. What can I do? So then after you take time to stop and truly think about those things, the next part you can do is to pray about it. God, I got all these things written down. Football, blanking like a letter, everything that you could be doing. But doing dishes or blah, 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 or have this responsibility, have this thing going on in my life. And you take time and you sit and you're like, okay, God, what do you want me to have on my list? What things that you don't want me to have on your list? Kind of just go through, take time to pray about it, reflect on those things. An easy thing to be like is, am I reflecting God when I'm doing these things? If you're like, yeah, circle that one, I do that for God all the time, that's great. If you have things that are like, nope, I don't really reflect God at my job, maybe you'd be like, you know what, I need to stop and think, how am I going to reflect God in this area? Because some of these things maybe don't necessarily directly reflect God, and that's okay, but how can you be a light while you're doing those things? Because sometimes we're like, you know what, I reflect God when I go to church. That's great. That's awesome. But like I said earlier, and like Daniel does, he reflects God no matter what he's doing. So how are you reflecting God in those areas? Take time to pray about those things. Ask yourself those deep questions. And the next one is this. Ask God what you need to add, if there's anything that you need to add. Ask God there's things to take off. We already said that, but... And just sit and wait, because maybe he's going to ask you to do something new. And maybe it's something that makes you a little uneasy, and you just need to pray for courage about that. You're like, God, this is going to make my life look very different. That's okay. But remember to put your eyes on God while you're doing it. Again, it's so rewarding when you do those things. You get out of your way, and you're like, yep, I'm trusting on you. And those are often the times we grow a lot. And it's an amazing thing. The other ones are written on here. Just take time, reflect, be honest, because we can't really grow unless we're being honest. And I'm not saying you need to go switch jobs, unless, of course, that's what God calls you to do, then you should do that. But we need to make sure we're putting God at the center of everything that we're doing. How are we being a good steward? Maybe you're feeling like, you're like, you know what? I think God's kind of been stirring in my heart that I should invite more people over. But my house is like frequently really not clean enough to do that. Maybe step one for you is like, you know what? I should probably make sure I'm being a good steward of my home so that I can have people over more. Sometimes some of these things that God's calling you to do might have a part one step to it. And that's okay. Like I said earlier, the more I've thought about this topic this past week, the more I've realized it's really a deep one. And a lot of times, it's like peeling an onion away. And sometimes you're like, this is a deeper issue than I thought it was. Like me not wanting to get up out of bed in the morning. Maybe you're like, oh, this is far deeper than just not getting out of bed. Sometimes you go, again, you get to a place where, like, you just have to be honest with yourself. And can I say it's okay to start with baby steps? Don't go all in and just change everything. Take baby steps. 1 Corinthians 9:25-27 says this: all athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. So I run with every step, with purpose in every step. I'm not just shadow boxing, I'm disciplining my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I myself might be disqualified. And sometimes, asking ourselves these questions, we have to be disciplined. We have to show up like Daniel does, praying 3 times a day, no matter what comes our way. Sometimes emergencies happen. I get that. That's okay, guys. It happens. But how are we showing up? How are we disciplining ourselves to do the things that God's calling us to do? Daniel was dedicated. He was a good steward. He put God first and made it very apparent. He lived and breathed God's ways so much that the king knew he was different and he was trustworthy, and he did not want to lose him. Didn't want to let him go. He was disciplined in his training and he ran with purpose. He wasn't preaching just to run, or he wasn't pretending to run. He was going after it with all that he had. I'm going to read the last of Daniel here. It said, in the evening, the men went together to the king and said, Your Majesty, you know that according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, no law that the king signs can be changed. Right? Like, we've given you your time. Time's up. So at last, the king gave the orders to Daniel to be arrested and thrown into the den of the lions. The king said to him, May your God, whom you serve so faithfully, rescue you. Excuse me, sorry. And a stone was brought and placed over the mouth of the den. Then the king sealed the stone with his own royal seal and the seals of all the nobles so that no one could rescue Daniel. Then the king returned to his palace and spent the night fasting. He refused his usual entertainment and couldn't sleep all night. Very early the next morning, the king got up and hurried out to Daniel's, to the lion den. And when he got there, he called out in anguish, Daniel, servant of the living God, was your God whom you served so faithfully able to rescue you from the lions? And Daniel answered, Long live the king. My God sent his angels to shut the lion's mouth so that they could not hurt me. For I've been found innocent in his sight, and I have not wronged you, your majesty. Then the king was overjoyed, and he ordered that Daniel be lifted from the lion's den. Not a single scratch was found on him, for he had trusted in God. Then the king gave orders to arrest the men who had maliciously accused Daniel, and he had them thrown in the lion's den, along with their wives and their children. And the lions leaped on them and tore them apart before they even hit the floor of the den. Then King Darius sent out this message to the people of every race and nation and language throughout the world. Peace and prosperity to you. I decree that everyone throughout my kingdom should tremble with fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God, and he will endure forever. His kingdom will never be destroyed, and his rule will never end. He rescues and he saves his people. He performs miraculous signs and wonders in the heavens and on earth. He has rescued Daniel from the power of the lions. So Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Our goal is to be light so that others can see God through us. Hopefully, with how disciplined and dedicated of a steward we are, we're able to shine that kind of light like Daniel. May the light we shine so brightly directly point people to God, so that so many other people can hear about him, learn about him, and believe in him too. No matter what situations we face or what battles come our way, may we be a light to the world around us by how we choose to live, the choices we make, and putting God at the forefront of our lives. We may be a people who love well and live well for God. Maybe point people towards him by simply showing up with how we choose to live. Because when we're doing it right, we should be different than the people around us. There are so many people in the Bible who shone their light so brightly that it pointed right to God, and in history and still today. What an amazing thing to get to the end of our lives and know that we fought the good fight and we shone his light so bright it pointed people to him. And that seed might start as something really small, choosing to spend more time with him every day. taking time just to, for 10 minutes to pray, talk to God, might be something small that grows to be something really big. So the question is this: how are you stewarding the light in your home, at your job, or wherever you're at? It's a big question, but it's something we should all be thinking about often. How am I showing up for God? How do other people see him through me? Because Daniel does that through and through. How are we being a good steward? How are we showing up? It's a huge question, like I said. It has lots of layers. And again, if you're thinking about it, you're like talking to God, find somewhere small to start. Maybe you know something that God's put on your heart that's a huge thing. You can start somewhere small. Ask God, how do you want me to get there? That's okay. We're going to end here in prayer. If you guys want to close your eyes, bow your heads. Again, it is such an important thing that we are people of reflection. We take time to think about things that God's speaking to us. Is something sticking out to you today? Talk to God about it. See what he has to tell you. But it is a really important thing, just like John talked about last week. How are we having heart for the people around us? How are we shining the light? So if you're in a spot today, you're like, you know what? I want to tell God that there's some things I need to step up in, something I need to change. Or maybe you're just at a spot, you're like, you know what? Something's just not quite right. And I want to say, you know what? I need to change some things. I'm going to ask you to do a big thing. It's really hard. If you want to say yes, and you're like, you know what, God, I need to change things, just raise your hand. No one's looking around. This is more about you just saying, God, I want to take a step. So if you want to raise your hand, go for it. Again, this is mainly for you. Just saying, yes, God, I want to do something with what I heard today. And then we're going to pray. God, we thank you so much that you love your people so much, that you're there for us, with us, with whatever it is that's going on in our lives. God, no matter what battles that people are facing in this room, God, we thank you that you're there with them. God, we just pray that as we leave or even as we're sitting today, God, that you would speak to us if anything needs to change in our life, whether it's something that we need to put in more time with you so we're stewarding a relationship with you better, or it's something that you want us to do different in our lives. God, we just pray that you give us open ears to hear that, even with the hard things that we might not necessarily want to give up. God, I just pray that you would make your presence so known and so real to us. God, we thank you that you shine your light. God, that you can do so many amazing things in our lives. We thank you how much you love and care about everyone in this room. And God, we just pray for a great week this week. God, can you keep our eyes open for things that you're doing in our lives in ways that we can be a light to someone around us. God, we love you so much. Amen. All right, well, I hope you guys all have a great Sunday. Thank you so much. Again, if you want to take one of these papers home, go for it. I hope you guys have a great week.